Welcome to The Ether. Today is Friday, May 20th, 2022. Today on The Ether, Luna, governance, stablecoins, and decentralization. Hosted by some real lunatics, like the Degenerate. Let's take a listen.
How's it going, guys? Couple different topics I kind of wanted to go over today. Just kind of the sentiment, or I guess the changes in the kind of community that Luna has had, and some of the newcomers, some of the changes in just I don't know some of these new spaces out that a lot of people that are kind of new to the Luna community who may not be necessarily have the same mindset or the same views as a lot of the OG holders. So I kind of wanted to go over some of that stuff, the proposals, and kind of where those are at, and just kind of the outlook on stablecoins and the crypto market kind of for right now. So I guess one of the things that I think has been kind of tough for a lot of people is, aside from losing essentially a lot of people's full net worth or lots of money in Luna, now the community is kind of dispersing, kind of split in half right now between people who are diehard Luna holders for life and people that are skeptical or kind of leaving the community. I mean, we're seeing this with protocols, we're seeing this with NFT projects. I mean, you go look at Random Earth, I think probably 80% of the Luna NFT projects have already kind of jump ship to another chain. So I know it's been kind of hard for a lot of people in the Terra space, because I mean, when you lose everything, you kind of turn to the other lunatics, and now it seems like everybody's kind of leaving. But now we're seeing these new Twitter spaces and new lunatics, I guess, that are mainly trading Luna, I would say, for the pump and dump, the meme coin effect, I guess. I've seen a lot of these spaces with people who seem to know very little about the actual chain, haven't really talked about the protocols much, and have some, I guess, ideas that maybe the OG lunatics haven't really, their views don't align with. So I know that's kind of irritating some people, I guess. I don't know. It's kind of what it is. But yeah, I wanted to hear some of your guys' thoughts on that and kind of talk that side of things out. And then also, I mean, with the proposals now, it's funny. It as much as it seems rushed, it also seems like it's taking forever. It's kind of like a double sword kind of thing. Like, really, Doquan's kind of pushing for this new V2, and a lot of people are think it's getting rushed. Maybe the token distribution isn't exactly where everybody wants it. But at the same time, I mean, you're already seeing NFT projects and protocols kind of looking for another chain, and validators, I think, at some point are going to have to figure out whether or not they want to stick around here and kind of see what's going on for V2, or if they want to leave. So kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place here. But anyways, if people want to come up and talk kind of about their experiences lately, how they're feeling about the kind of the new lunatics coming in, also, you know, like what they're looking forward to with V2, what they're concerned about. I mean, like I said, I think the community is really kind of split right now. Some of the people who used to be really, really diehard for the chain are now not so much, and understandably so. But I mean, I think at this point, really, if you're getting a free token to airdrop to you, like what's the harm in seeing where it goes? I know obviously people aren't going to be made whole, whether you're a UST holder or a Luna holder. I don't think anybody's getting fully compensated at all, but I mean, I think a lot of the lunatics that were here originally kind of are just hoping that we can get some sort of that Luna vibe, whether it's communities or protocols or both. And I think kind of in the next couple of days and weeks, we're going to see who's sticking around. I mean, it looks like this new launch is going to be at the end of May, around the 27th sometime. So I think we're going to see pretty quick here who's staying and who's leaving. But Steffi, I don't know if you want to hop up and join. I know you have your thoughts. And I guess one of the other kind of interesting things too we're seeing now is the, like, how centralized crypto really is. I mean, I think really now that the term DeFi is more so meaning kind of out of the grasp of banks and governments and institutions, but like it almost seems that there is some sort of importance to having somebody there to kind of take the reins, because even for these governance proposals and stuff like that, it seems I don't know, things get a little bit out of hand if everybody has an idea, and gets hard to narrow things down. But anyways, yeah, I don't know, Steffi, what are you thinking about the new kind of lunatics that have kind of popped up here in the last couple of days? I feel like I'm seeing so many new spaces, so many new ideas, so many new things that just I don't necessarily know if they correlate with the kind of old community feel of Luna. I feel like things are starting to shift a little bit in the sediment of the community and just like as a whole.
I think that's mostly just noise. Ultimately the success of these things happens over years, not like days or whatever. So, you know, whatever people that kind of are just like influence peddling and things like that, you know, what I've noticed is some of those seem like just people that are like on the hunt for followers. So they just take the latest like news and throw some shit on Twitter spaces and basically hop on so they can kind of get some followers and shit. So some of that seems like disingenuous nonsense to some extent. I don't know what your feeling on it is, but like some of that is just noise. I think at this point, the thing is, like, previously there was a clear value accrual mechanism for Luna based on the demand for UST, which was its primary product, right? Now we have like a more standard crypto where there's no actual clear deterministic mechanism for the price movement. So by deterministic, like what I mean by that is, okay, you know, there's a reason why you could like track the price of Luna to some extent to the demand for UST, or you could track the demand or the price of, let's say, Rune based on how much network value it's securing and things like that. So there are some examples of some coins that behave in this manner. Like what we need for the new Luna to be successful, and I kind of brought this up in a group today, you know, like what you need is a reason to hold it. Staking yield is always great, but if we get like ethos in the community that, for example, you know how like UST was the favored, utility of a lot of dApps and such. If you go to the idea that maybe like staking Luna with a protocol, like let's say you were to show up on, I don't know, Prism and you want Prism tokens, then you could stake your Luna there with them, and they would take the yield by delegating it. And then dollar cost average you into their altcoin, right? Like, so if you had the ability on every single page of every dApp on the new Terra to be able to use your Luna and sort of like stake it, sort of like you do with a validator, then that gives you maybe like a better yield on your Luna. And it translates maybe to a higher sort of like a better way to buy your alts in sort of a DCA, but it like locks up Luna to some extent or the other. So, you know, ideas like that where, you know, you provide, you create more and more reasons to own Luna would be really good. I think maybe the other one would be, you know, how before, like the DEXs, all the trading pairs would be with, you know, with UST or with, well, yeah, with UST or Luna. Now, like you make sure that all the DEXs agree to have everything, start with everything paired with Luna, and maybe even have like native liquid staking. So if we could kind of create a system where like, you know, the liquid staked Luna automatically splits maybe the cash flow between all the different validators, and maybe like you can use that as the core feature in the DEXs. The exchanges. So then what happened is then you could have like, you could own your value appreciating Luna, sort of like Luna X or ST Luna and all other bullshit. But now you can do that while like holding your alts. I think those kinds of things will rapidly make the native coin have a better value accrual mechanism and just be more popular than even maybe the Luna that we had before from the, those perspectives, right? Like everyone had to come and build like liquid staking derivatives and such. I think having some and liquid staking derivative native to the platform somehow, even if, or maybe a liquid staking derivative, you give up some of your yield. So like maybe instead of a 7% yield, it's, I don't know, 6, but at least you're getting something while you're in the middle of a DEX, you know, in an LP position or something, you know. So these are the kind of things I think, by making the coin attractive, I think we'll bring in capital fairly quickly. And, you know, you have all these people that are, have their Terra wallets already. You have people that have, you know, Kepler wallets and whatnot. As long as you can quickly get the ability to onboard capital, then there's plenty of people, you know, who've used Terra before, you know, who aren't necessarily all in and have money and can buy things. And you want to bring like at least a couple of billion market cap in fairly quickly, right? And in a bear market, that's tougher. I was just looking at a couple of coins, like I think eGold today and some other ones. And, you know, between eGold and Atom, you have market caps in the $2 to $4 billion range. And that's like, at the, you know, in a kind of bear market condition. I think you could get to 1 billion market cap really quickly and scale into like maybe 2 billion over the course of like a year or two. I think it's doable. I don't know if there's any real use of the like old chain. I'm not sure what the point of it is exactly at this point. I think that with the tokens that are out there, the governance for that chain is essentially wrecked. And it's, in my mind, it's basically wholesale worthless at this point. Like, that's my feeling. I don't have any intention of waiting for any kind of like memification or some bullshit in the old giant chain. I don't care about it anymore personally. So I think any kind of serious new implementation is going to end up being on the new chain. What do you think, man?
Yeah, I have to agree with that. I think, I mean, the only reason I can see right now to hold, I guess, a Luna Classic or UST is just to kind of for the airdrop incentives for the new chain when it comes out. I would agree with you. I would assume it's going to be like an Ethereum Classic and people are just kind of going to trade it for fun because, but really it's not going to be a huge one. I don't really see Luna or the new Luna having that much of an issue getting up into the billions, like you said. Yeah, like maybe not in the next couple months, probably over the next year or a couple years, especially in the market conditions. But I mean, I think as much as people
don't like Do Kwon as the face of it. I think he's a very, very good asset for the chain. And the fact I think he's done very well with finding good builders, quality like protocols and stuff like that. And I also think he, to some extent, has some sort of knowledge for marketing tactics and stuff like that. I just don't see a lot of the lunatics that are like pretty much veto on V2 or this new Luna chain. I really don't see the harm in just holding the airdrop tokens to kind of see where it goes. I mean, essentially you're getting onboarded onto this new chain for free. And I mean, I'll probably give it a little bit and see what I'm interested to see what new protocols come and what protocols stick around. But I think even as a normal layer one, I think even in the top probably 10, 15 layer one chains, like really there's not even close to the kind of infrastructure Luna used to have. And I mean, even if we can get a couple of those protocols to stick around, I think there's going to be a lot more to do on Luna V2 than even something like, I don't know, some of the other L1s, like maybe like AVAX or something like that. Or so I think it'll be, a successful project. I don't know if it'll be $40 billion right away. I'm willing to look and see where it was at. I think the part I'm a little concerned about right now is just kind of that the community's kind of split up right now. I think a lot of people joined Luna and stayed with Luna for two things, like the protocols and the like community sentiment. I think a lot of like diehard lunatics were kind of really in it for like the community feel, for like the Twitter spaces, the kind of NFTs and stuff.
Well, there's like the echo chamber of Twitter spaces, and I think it's easy to confuse, like, you know, how many billions of dollars came into the ecosystem due to everyone from venture capital to like big money. I don't think that necessarily, you know, I've always said like the WAGMI thing is like, I don't know, it doesn't make any sense. Like, people are going to be in it if there is money to be made. So the first community is essentially like price appreciation. So, you know, you basically, like, let's say you had a coin that was designed to go to zero. Like, let's talk about like what that would look like. Is there a community that would be available if a token was literally designed to go to zero? I think the answer for everyone is no. If that's the case, then you're not just in it for the art. You're not just in it for the community, right? Like, so I think there is, I think it's important, first of all, like for the, for lack of a better term, a coin needs to be like, and an ecosystem needs to be shillable. Like, you need to be able to tell your friends and family that, hey, this is an interesting product. I think it has some potential. I think you should consider buying some. And it has to have that viral marketing behind it. And I think, you know, a coin, you could take pretty much every value accrual mechanism in crypto that has been designed so far and use every single one you possibly can and design it into the coin so that there are, in my view, at least 10 to 12 possible like memes, in a sense, right? Like, you have to have some themes that are easy to talk about that people like during a Twitter spaces or something like that, where, you know, you have this list of things and these are the reasons why the token is designed to go up, right? Like, when it comes to something like BTC, you know, people talk about the scarcity. You talk about like mining, you talk about hash rate. There are some metrics to sort of get an idea of something, if it's like overvalued or undervalued based on mining, for example. So I think there needs to be kind of a lot of shareable information. How SmartStake had their burn dashboard, remember? Like, it'd be nice if as many projects as possible had like a Twitter shareable button, so that it automatically formats the information, it sends it on to Twitter, and you could like spread it, right? So those kinds of utilities to make things go viral quicker and make it easier and more shareable is super important. Like, I think the mobile first element of Terra Station, you know, could be even better. or in Terra Station 2 or whatever you want to call it. But yeah, like all of that is like, you can, and there's no need, there's no reason not to sort of replicate the experiences that some other projects have accomplished. Like I was just digging through, what's his name? Obi had like a bunch of like info about Egold and Elrond. I'm like, all right, let me go check it out. I made a wallet. I sent some money to it. And it's extraordinarily slick in terms of like dashboards. And it's very, very cohesive. It's like, you know, clearly professionals building this thing. There's no reason not to sort of look at what other people have done and kind of get all the value accrual mechanisms, all the shareability, all of that like built in. Because you're not really, you know, like so far, there's no white paper for Terra V2 that says, okay, we are now like reinventing, like, you know, we're inventing something really new, right? Like, what's the white paper going to be? We're just a layer one. I mean, you know, like, what is it exactly?
Yeah, and I would agree. And that's kind of what I meant by like the community, I guess, is like everybody I knew was like telling everybody they knew, hey, like, you need to go stake for 20% in Anchor, or you need to like get on this because like it's all mobilized, it's easy to get from traditional finance to Terra, and so that like it just exponentially onboards new users and stuff like that. And so I mean I think a lot of the protocols and infrastructure that was already built on Luna, I don't know if it was necessarily dependent on UST. I mean, from my knowledge, even the yield in Anchor was like they just took your Luna, staked it in the network, they made a percentage from that, and then it was topped up by like the Luna Foundation or whatever. But like you said, like you need to have those people like you and Lucky and all of these other guys that are so interested in the network that they're like every new protocol comes out and they're like figuring out how to make an extra 0.5% or something like that, and like putting out YouTube tutorials, and you have guys like Danku and stuff like that, that like anytime anything comes out, they're like teaching people how to use it and putting up YouTube videos. And then it just pretty much, like you said, goes viral. I mean, you even saw it with the huge dump and then the huge pump on Luna recently, like how many like random people are just all of a sudden lunatics now because, well, I mean, price is a meme, I guess. You see something go up 4,000% in a day and all of a sudden you're a lunatic. But I think the UST was like cool, and obviously like as the token, it gave the token of Luna itself a lot of value for the hyperinflation or hyperdeflation, I guess. But yeah, I don't see why a lot of this infrastructure couldn't just essentially migrate right to V2. I'm just kind of waiting to see which protocols are just coming over to V2 and which ones are dispersing and where we're going to have gaps in the ecosystem. I don't know. I think it'll be interesting to see. I wonder how much more information we're going to get before the actual launch, or if they're just going to, like, I feel like we've been pretty sheltered from getting information about what's happening with the new chain. I mean, they kind of put together a couple propositions, sent them out, and that was kind of that. But I think even the proposals are a little bit limited in information. I'm assuming they're just going to try and get as many protocols, or I think Dokkan.
Well, the builders are kind of like on Telegram, kind of in groups and stuff, like trying to put together ideas and kind of create something cohesive. But I think the opportunity we have is, if you think about the typical DeFi chain, it doesn't have like a whole bunch of projects already ready made to go for it, right? This is kind of weird. And you know, when you bring everyone over, if you know, everyone says, hey, look, we're going to make the new Luna a part of our you know, approach in terms of trying to encourage staking and holding and whatever it is, you know, and gamify the system a little bit more to encourage people to like hold on to their Luna for everything from like, you know, Avatar Protocol, you know, that was doing stuff to, you know, kind of encourage, you know, individuals to kind of build up their profile by trying different protocols and everything. I think that would be kind of cool. Like, imagine, like, for example, you use like Avatar Protocol and what's that group that like measures your wallet and kind of looks at your performance on the system? Flipside Crypto, I think. Flipside. Imagine if you had like Flipside, and depending on what kind of shit you do on the network, your yield goes up, right? So, for example, if you own NFTs, if you have played certain, you know, DeFi things, you borrow or some, or you stake some, like all of those things adds to your score. And based on that score, like your yields go up, right? That would be kind of interesting. But I think encouraging a rapid growth and entry into the new projects or the old projects that are migrating, encouraging really the build out of the alts and the NFTs, as opposed to necessarily like talking about Luna as much, but in the background, like make sure Luna is integral to all these projects. That can be really pretty cool. I don't know that any DeFi platform like integrates their staking asset into the dApps really, you know, in particular, right? So that could be cool. And then like more broadly, it's like what we were good at was the financial dApps to some extent. And we were pretty good at the NFT marketplaces were getting pretty decent. And if you take what we were good at and say, look, all right, well, financial dApps and financial primitives are the first step in building gaming primitives. Then the question is like, you know, do you make this a like metaverse, you know, primitive chain for the IBC or something? Like you got to have some vision between everybody to say like, what would be an amazing thing for us to build? And what could like make our assets useful across the IBC, right? Like those are the kinds of things to be thinking about. Like if Nebula Protocol builds a cluster coin, is that a coin that could then be used elsewhere in the IBC and other exchanges and other treasuries? Things like that, right? Like, you know, the idea is to sort of improve like the product of Terra beyond like just any other L1 chain, such that the altcoins and the Terra chain coin of Luna 2 become really valuable for whatever reason. And I'm not sure of all the different ways to do that. Like I've sort of rattled off a pretty good list, but like those are the kind of ideas I think we need.
No, I totally agree with you. I wonder how far it's going to go though, in terms of that kind of stuff, because like, I know Do Kwon kind of in the proposal, it almost seemed like the vision was still some sort of stable coin or some sort of, like spendable money, something like that. But yeah, I wonder how, because I know originally when Luna was born, they didn't really use like the full tech of the IBC. And I mean, now I think there's even more out with Cosm, Wasm and all this other stuff. So I wonder if they will integrate more into IBC, if they're still going to want to be kind of, I feel like they're still going to want to be like their kind of standalone chain. I mean,
Well, in one way you can think of it like this, like the stablecoin mechanism certainly worked on chain, right? So if you knew for sure you can remit your, you know, UST2 for Luna 2, and you knew you could do it on chain, forget about off chain anything, right? Like if you knew for sure on chain you could exchange it one to one and there'd be no issues, then, you know, and you don't try to create a cross chain purpose for it, you could still end up with like a stable coin, a deflationary mechanism on chain, some mechanism to burn some Luna, et cetera, right? So I think, but without the team tokens, right? Since this is a full community project, you no longer have to deal with like the 50% of the TFL Luna that only God knows what was going to happen to it. And in theory, you know, since it's more community distributed validator and protocol distributed coins, the theory would be like you would be able to, like, I guess, use the inflationary mechanism to pay the validators. The price appreciation would take a hit because now you're right paying out in inflation. But there may be ways to create like burn mechanisms that have specific utility But people would have to really think about what those would be. You know, the UST Luna burn mechanism had a lot of sense behind it. But deterministic burn mechanisms are hard to come by. There's only so many ways you can implement them, actually, that I've seen, you know, that make any sense. So it's a tricky thing. Zealot, go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, I was going to just go back to like being a lunatic for me, and I think a lot of other people, was more about the principles underneath the stablecoin mechanism that was going on, right? It was about the uncensorable money, where, you know, it's not going to get checked. And also it was about a lot of those synthetic assets having the freedom to get it from anywhere in the world, right? Like, it's kind of extending Bitcoin's, you know, transfer of value between people anywhere in the world. That same thing, that was the founding principle, I think, that we all, that's the meme kind of, right, that we're all under. So I wonder if there's other ways that we can carry on that, like, you know, if all of the protocols and everyone kind of focused on that, maybe bringing in some other stable coin for now that works for now, right? And then kind of working on redesigning things until we get it right, right? Like,
I think the tricky problem though, man, one thing for everyone to keep in mind when it comes to like now minting stable coins and now everyone knows what the attack vector is. The problem is this, think about this for a second. So let's say you are on Tron or whatever the hell Tron's chain is called now. And you were getting Tron USD, right? And now you are a whale with $1 billion and they're trying to mint $10 billion of this token. What's keeping you from going and taking $1 billion, getting yourself $1 billion worth of Tron USD or whatever it's called, and you decide to hold it for a few years? And then you decide later, much farther down the line, to short Tron years from now after dumping that the Tron USD on the market. So once the vector's there, you can't be sure people aren't just going to do that as a plan, right? Like, in other words, you can't assume that everyone acquiring the coin is actually benign. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I mean,
so I don't know how to solve this problem. I can't see a solution.
I was thinking about it, not even. Maybe there's some way without trying to have a stable coin that goes to USD, right? Like, maybe there's some other way to counter inflation and stuff and go back to like a basket of assets or whatever that it makes sense to go to. And, you know, we have to, I think even further outside of the box, because the whole point of something like UST, or like easily you can measure up against it, is like the on-ramp part, right? And that's the part that needs to be solved.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind even having like Paxos Gold on chain for that matter. It's actually pretty useful.
I was gonna say, I'm sure if there is some sort of way to make a stable coin work, or to make a new model of UST that is more secure, or I'm sure Do Kwon's going to be working on that. I mean, his proposal seemed like it left the door open for some sort of stable coin coming later down the road. So I'm sure they're probably looking at every single option they can, but at the same time, I also think they probably are going to be waiting a while before even announcing anything regarding a stable coin.
Yeah, that makes sense. Sefi, I wanted to ask you, if you don't mind, about like Anchor, like, was the main product of Luna, right? That like captured all the TVL and attracted a lot of people from all over the place, right? Temporarily, do you think it could work with something like USDC as being the temporary asset and just continue that whole mechanism of, you know, at a lower rate but more sustained? Building something like that, would it be possible with the centralized and just continue the same kind of model?
I'm certainly not an expert in building banks, number one, so I don't want to say like too much that I'm not sure about, but like the way I think of it is this, like, okay, so you have your Luna 2 and you have it, you're borrowing off of it, and you are giving up some yield to do so, right? And then you, that yield goes to the bank. It, that it creates the reserve amount. And then theoretically, you would borrow USDC there, and, you know, your collateral is there to be liquidated. You know, if your, your collateral is insufficient. I think since they create a lot of the infrastructure already for things like bonded Atom, bonded Solana, bonded Ethereum, et cetera, you could theoretically have a mixed collateral system to bring in. But here's the problem. Like, we haven't heard anything from like a Wormhole or anybody. Like, nobody, I don't, well, maybe I'm just not seeing the tweets, but I haven't seen a whole lot of data yet as far as people claiming that, yeah, yeah, we're going to like be supporting bridging this type of stuff over to Terra 2. So to start with, you'd just basically have Luna 2 as the collateral, which is fine, I suppose. And then you'd need to at least have it, at the very least, USDC. I don't even like the concept of having bridges at this point. Like, if we, if USDC, the Circle Corporation or whoever the hell is going to provide like a Terra native or an Osmosis or IBC native version of USDC, I'd be much more impressed, right? But like, the bridges and such have been shown to be highly questionable vectors. We need like this, a system with way less attack vectors, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, to my knowledge, how Anchor worked was just, yeah, like they take your Luna, stake it in the network at 7%. But I mean, it's not like you're 1-to-1, like the average person was only borrowing off of like 50% or something like that. And so they were taking in like large amounts of Luna and staking it in the network. But then,
yeah, what happens without that yield reserve, guys, remember, is like, look at Mars Protocol. Like, you'd go to borrow off of it and there'd be no money left to borrow, right? So if you make it like, if you make it sustainable, you make it such that the possible amount you can borrow is capped at whatever the reserve pool actually has in it, which, you know.
And I guess the other thing to think about too is coming into a brand new chain with everything that already happened, like how many people are going to be borrowing off of their Luna right off the bat versus how many people are probably going to be staking like USDC in there to make some yield, especially in a bear market. The balance might not work out right off the gate.
Yeah, just to add with what DeFi Zillow was saying with regards to having a decentralized type stable coin, uncensorable, etc. It obviously, in hindsight, it appears that it's very, very challenging as the scale sort of, you know, increases. We open up a number of attack vectors. And it's obviously very, very difficult to project, like forward-looking projections to see what those attack vectors will be as a economy scales up in that decentralized sense. So, I mean, yeah, it almost at this point sounds like a fantasy to ever have a decentralized style stablecoin ever in the future. Like Terra was sort of had that infrastructure and had a lot going for it while it lasted. At the moment, it seems like a fantasy to have something like that.
Yeah, I think it's like I can name attack vectors without even having to use my imagination very far. Like, so at this point, it's basically over as far as I'm concerned. Like, there's no scenario where there's not an attack vector that I can't figure one out at this point. So, you know, it's just too late. It's a question of just sufficient amounts of money at that point to execute the attack vector. And, you know, that's where the scale problem comes in. As long as it stays small, you're good, right? But if it gets to any significant scale, it's worth attacking. So that's where it becomes an issue. So that's why, like, you don't want your layer one Luna to be tied to, you don't want it to be tied to some burn mechanism for a currency anyway, because then you just add, you know, an attack vector to your governance token. And then we have the problem like we have now where like the entire chain doesn't work properly. Whereas had we had like a separate system outside of Luna, like for the UST mint and burn redemption thing, at least if that crashed, UST would have died. The paired collateral would have died, but Luna would still be there, right? Like that. So there is a problem with the model in that you don't really want to compromise your chain in the process of issuing some sort of coin. That's an issue.
I think the hard part about that too is, even if there was a way that you kind of split the two up, then like, what's the incentive for other people to hold that? Like, you know, like, because I think the stable coin would kind of outgrow the layer one at that point if the only use of the token was just to be that burn mechanism and not to have any.
Yeah. Or think of it the other way. Remember when Luna UST was like, was not even a smart contract chain, right? Like, there was nothing else going on. So let's say we had two chains. We had the Luna UST's type chain, and then you had a, you know, whatever you call it, the Luna 2, decentralized finance chain. And you just used UST via IBC. Well, then now you have two chains. If one goes down, you're fine, right? So it creates a diversity, like an error correction mechanism, so to speak, so that you don't, you always have like a backup, so to speak.
Yeah, and maybe here's a theory. Maybe they're keeping the old chain open to have the old Luna Classic just be backing for UST when they rebuild it.
Yeah, although don't you think, I mean, I could be wrong, but don't you think the old, like, Luna is just going to simply get delisted? Like, is it, like, are validators going to validate this thing and isn't just going to just disappear? Like, I don't know why we're in this belief system. Have the validators committed to running this thing forever? Like, why would we think Luna Classic's going to stick around? I don't know. I'm not sure what the whole story is.
Yeah, I mean, I would completely agree with you. I would think that it would essentially fold. I mean, it already got delisted from everything. And then I think the only reason it's listed now is because there's a bunch of kind of moon boy attention on, oh my God, this thing has 10 zeros behind the decimal. It's probably going to go to a dollar or something like that. So it's trading right now. But yeah, I think the second that the new chain becomes implemented, that other one's just getting wiped out. And I think a lot of the validators on it right now are just kind of doing it for the community and just kind of holding up the chain so people can get their money out or move their money around right now. But yeah, I'm assuming every validator that's on the Classic chain is migrating over to V2.
I don't know. You guys haven't figured this out yet. Can't we just fix the code or the smart contract, bro?
bro, you just have to burn it all.
Well, the thing is, it's
burn everything,
dude.
Everything.
I think somebody commented and they said, if you burn the supply, the value goes up. It's easy math, bro.
Yeah, someone just needs to make a meme with a boring company flamethrower, Elon just torching the Luna coin.
This is a Ponzi scheme.
Essentially, I think what is going to happen is all the Luna holders are just going to like willfully send their Luna over to TFL so that it can be burned. I think some of the comments and stuff are getting a little bit just on the hilarious side of things. I heard the one guy in the space there the other day being like, yeah, the system didn't actually get exploited. What happened was the mechanism's actually working perfectly. I'm like, well, I mean, technically it still did get exploited. It's just, they found a weak
financial exploit.
Yeah, it was absolutely exploited. But yeah.
I think the word was hack is what they were using, the word hack.
Yeah. I mean, either way, I think a lot of that stuff too, it's like, I need to just stop spending my days trying to like, enlighten these people, because it just doesn't really make a difference and it just burns all my time up. But I don't know. I think
have
we just
thought about getting into researching into utility tokens like Algorand or XLM.
I mean, I'm looking at a lot of layer ones right now. I wouldn't say, like, I feel like if you know how the mechanism of Luna worked originally, and then if you know or have used the L1 itself, any of the finance tools, any of the dApps, any of the DEXs, the protocols, any of that kind of stuff, I feel like you would know that there is value within Luna. And I mean, that's kind of all I'm going to say about it without going too deep into it. But I think a lot of the lunatics know why there's value in the chain. And I think regardless of all of the, I guess, this kind of black cloud of people that have just seen the news of it crashing and thinking that it got hacked or something like that. I think despite that, it's still going to build, because at the end of the day, I think there's still a lot of builders there. I think there's still a lot of, projects and stuff that are going to build some sweet stuff on it. And whether it's a $1 billion project or a $40 billion project, I'll be there to hang out and use it.
We just need Richard Hart to lead us into Valhalla.
Oh, yeah.
I let David Schwartz lead me.
That's what we're going to do, too.
I'm just waiting for Prism to come back out so that I can start splitting my Luna up again. I feel like especially for guys like I remember listening to Lucky Spaces, where he's like, man, I just like keep a little bit of Luna just to arbit when there's a juicy arbitrage, just because I need that little hit of dopamine. And I'm like thinking to myself right now, like, I need some of that. I need something. splitting, bonding, burning, whatever it is. I need to be playing around with something.
I believe a lot more cryptocurrencies, or at least I'll say networks, are going to go down, and maybe even Tether, and maybe not the near future, but the long term, I think Tether is going to be regulated out.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. I know there was like an investigation with Tether recently where they found that they are like over collateralized in liquid assets, but obviously like that's just their market cap that they're collateralized for, not necessarily all of crypto trying to exit. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely a possibility. I think there's a lot more vulnerability or more eyes on the fact that stable coins have their downfalls and maybe aren't as stable as a lot of people think they are. So yeah, I mean, definitely something to keep your eye out for sure. But
I don't even know why we're still naming it Luna, to be honest. just completely brand change, rename, pull a target, pivot.
Dude, honestly, I thought that Eclipse name was pretty dope. It would have been a better chain name.
I like Terra, like the, just doing Terra, like a launch pad maybe for like developers or something. So at this point, like it doesn't really have much other than that.
Maybe I like Shib Luna. Platform. Shib Luna.
Shib Luna. I don't know. I think it's, I don't know how much of a major, I think a lot of people are concerned about the brand behind it. I don't know how much it's going to affect it, because I feel like if you actually look into Luna and why it crashed, then you would know it as an L1 doesn't have those issues anymore. But I guess from a social standpoint, a lot of people just see videos of Luna going to minus 99.9% of what it was worth and maybe don't want to invest. I don't know. I guess we'll see how it plays out. A year, two, 3 years down the road, I don't know if the name Luna is going to break the project. But
yeah, but here's the thing. You know, it's kind of a double-edged sword. These people... people in crypto generally have the short-term memory of like a three-year-old. It'll be forgotten about in a few months, sadly, even though it shouldn't be.
What'll be forgotten about, the crash or the actual chain itself?
No, the pain. People will forget the pain and then they'll still just go into it.
Oh yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, I know it's not the exact same thing, but even look at like ETH and ETH Classic. I mean, they just forked the chain and they called it Ethereum. Oh, sorry. They called it Ethereum and ETH Classic, and it still has a life of its own, right? So I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, but if you've got people like Sifu, who's like, you know, a known gangster, basically, for lack of a better word, and people like that still operating this space, I don't think it's going to be that big of an issue. Not to compare them in any regard, just saying that the crypto industry as a whole just doesn't seem to care about people's histories or anything like that.
Yeah, I think the rename of coin and like keeping Luna as the primary name, it just doesn't make any real sense. I agree with you. It's just like the new tokenomic, the new whatever white paper, Well, there isn't a white paper, is there? But like, there's nothing really related to the prior project except for like a group of people, and it seems like it makes sense to just have a new coin name to me too.
But we can all agree that Luna, you know, the way it crashed, it doesn't really matter. But the fact is that Doquan knew the whole time what was going on, you know, before, you know, the whole fiasco.
Well, I don't know if you speak to that regard. It's a bit of a speculation on that part.
He shut down two of his headquarters, two of his...
Yeah, but that was TFL that was moving to Singapore. People from TFL made mention of that too.
Yeah, we are, that's already known.
Yeah, that's just kind of like a...
I think we should all look into other coins like HBAR or, you know, maybe even XRP at this point. I mean...
Here's the thing. Boy. I'm not trying to like...
Just fuck it with you.
But like, I feel like pretty much the whole spiel you just gave is like textbook. Like, you went on YouTube and looked up what happened with Luna, and they were like, "Oh man, XRP and HBAR." Like, those are the main chains I see going, and
it went to zero. That's all I can say.
Oh, for sure it did. But
we know best.
It went to zero.
It's a failed project.
Well, I think the stablecoin mechanism that it had was failed for sure. And I think that's kind of the risk you take when you bring a brand new technology into the crypto space and then it creeps
up. You really think the government is going to allow a company like that to continue? No, I really don't. I think regulation's going to...
What are they going to do, though? At least in the U.S.,
I really don't think
you're living a fantasy. The government can't do anything. You're just like in silly land. That's just nonsense.
Institutional money is not going to pour into something like that.
So, what was the money that poured into Luna before this? Was it like all retail? Because, like, I'm seeing a lot of funds that lost billions of dollars in this. I think on a large scale, maybe you might be right. But like, it just takes time for trust to build, right? Like, every idea that you think of has been tried by someone and failed. The only difference is as they iterate forward, smaller, newer technologies come into play, which
make like the phone you're talking on with companies that basically tried and failed first. So not a big deal.
Well, and even in the crypto space, I mean, look at the massive hack that happened on ETH. And they forked the chain, and now it's literally one of the most big money invested in tokens in crypto. It's like the second biggest coin. So, I think
I'll make you guys a bet. I can make more money in Terra V2 in the course of a year than most of you will make all your lives. Like, I'll make a bet right now. So, like, you just simply have to know how to play the game, and that's all there is to it. As simple as that. Like, it's just like, you know, people get too worried about the most stupidest nonsense. Like, you just got to move on and like make it happen.
Well, I think you might have a little bit of advantage because I think you've already played the game once. So I think it'll be
played the game for 30 years now. So like, there is no.
If you guys are here just for the money, then, you know, I don't know what else to say at this point. I'm here for not only the money, but the utility and the technology behind it.
Oh, the culture, bro, for sure.
You guys are just in it for the pump and dump scam.
I don't think anything of what Seth just said implies that he's here for a pump and dump scam.
Pretty much my Apple stock has done pretty good as a pump and dump. Right? 20 plus years. So, it will be fine. It just give us time.
Yeah, I think he more so meant like if you find the good technology and stuff like that, the money will come. And I think a lot of people that were in Luna before using it as an L1 have a lot of faith in where it can go and a lot of the builders and protocols that are already on it. So, I mean, yes, there are also cool tokens out there and I'm happy to invest in those as well. And I mean, probably going to try and diversify a little bit more this time. nice little learning experience, but I think a lot of people are underestimating where Luna V2 is going to go. So
I think the craziest thing for me right now is the current valuation puts Luna V2 launching at a price of like $3.5 per token, which is like crazy to me.
Yeah, we're going to be rich, dude. I can't wait.
I mean, it depends on like everything. I think I still do like algo stables to a certain degree. I think definitely is a big attack vector. Like I'm looking into MIM. I'm looking into like other projects as well right now. I think there will be an algo stable that works in the future. I think
the only one I'll take a look at is probably Frax. Oh, sorry, I probably cut you off there. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just going to continue exploring. I think a lot of the mechanisms are interesting. Like, each one has their own little thing, and we'll slowly see them either grow and succeed and allow people to use decentralized money, or it will die off and lessons will be learned. I do think it's less likely that Terra does sort of pioneer that at this point, but I don't see a world... I do see a world where, you know, someone else gets the big thing, figures it out, it works well, and then Terra co-ops that structure to launch their own stablecoin maybe 3 years, 5 years down the line. And because
the lesson of this situation is that it's not so much that you can't make a stablecoin. It has to have dozens of destinations for remittance. So you, in other words, if you had a coalition of like, let's say, I don't know, 10 or 12 countries that decide, hey, we're going to definitely remit this stable coin one-to-one with whatever stable, you know, asset you're going to, you know, peg it to, then you could make it work. Maybe. And even then it's a maybe. But if you just look at how most currencies sort of fail in general, just in the traditional finance world, like the attack vectors, of having a singular organization or singular chain sort of be a money printer is probably not going to happen. Maybe like if there's 100 chains, all of which have their own stable coin that are all like separately pegged, you might be able to have critical mass where, you know, you exchange like an Avalanche UST with a Terra UST with a, you know, Ethereum UST, whatever it is, you know, like that's maybe feasible, but I just don't think a singular source is going to work at this point. Like there's just, I can just name a dozen attack vectors off the top of my head that and will make sure that it won't work. That's the problem.
Yeah. I wonder how it would work for something like a stable coin that's algorithmically stabilized by like, let's say all of the cosmos, and maybe not right now, cause they're all like a little bit like on the smaller side, but like down the road, if kind of like all of the cosmos chains somehow pegged up one stable coin and it stayed more or less in the ecosystem. I think another thing that was like when it was Cato, I believe, and or Cabo Finance and Alice were kind of working together to try and get outside merchants so you could pay for stuff with UST. I feel like with that and Voyager, I think Voyager was kind of debating on having some of those stable coins as well linked to the debit card eventually. I think that probably would have solidified it a little bit if you could actually just use a card to pay for things with UST. But yeah, I don't know. It's
I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure about that degenerate because, I mean, once it goes into the hands of retail, they just want to hold it, and you know, that just wouldn't that then just provide a one-sided demand, which is what Anchor was, as opposed to being able to available, you know, to help the arbitrage in some shape or form, either by our liquidity pools or through the market makers. If it's sitting in, you know, your savings account, that UST isn't really helping to predict the system of the mint and burn. So I'm not too sure if that was going to be really good overall if we did get to that stage, because you're taking away all that UST out. And it's not really, it's just going to sit there, right? It's not going to be available to protect the system, which is the mint and burn through AMMs or the actual arbitrage by individuals or things like that, or even liquidity pools like Nalar was talking about. So I think that those things that protect the mint and burn liquidity in those mechanisms would rather be a lot more, you know, protection on the downside versus just having it sit in savings accounts and things like that. But the other thing you were saying about a Cosmos-based stablecoin, don't forget Rune is coming up with one, and Rune is Cosmos SDK, and they were going to be soon on the Osmosis DEX as one of the tokens. So who knows? I mean, I haven't looked into the exact mechanisms of the Rune stablecoin that they've been working on, but that might be interesting. Who knows? But that's along the lines of, you know, something that's Cosmos enabled fully.
I like what you got.
I think Morpheus. I think it would have helped. And the sole reason being just that, right? What you need is sort of UST sinks, I guess. Like, if you think about it this way, right? Like, if we had 99% of UST used in protocols, and that 1% is free floating, and that 99% realistically isn't looking to arbitrage, you will have market makers come in to deal with that 1% volatility, right? I think another problem that we face was that everyone using Anchor, or a large majority of people using Anchor, were focused on, I guess, quote unquote, making money, when the goal of UST is to allow people to transact, I guess, right? So, like, if it's used for its intended purpose, we would have been fine, I think.
Now, did you see the comments about like the Anchor protocol capital controls? So if you wanted higher yield, you had to actually lock it up more like a CD as opposed to as opposed to being able to extract that UST anytime you felt like it.
Yeah, I did. I was curious as to what would have happened. I think it would have worked, but the only issue was composability of UST at that point, or AUST, I guess. It wouldn't have really existed. Or it would have been one that had a lower yield, which might have worked or might not have worked.
Although indirectly, I guess the composability is irrelevant if the system doesn't work. So I guess maybe it shouldn't have been composable, right? I guess.
I think we were so close. I mean, like our barrier was adoption, right? You need the masses to believe that this is a currency and to opt out of, you know, whatever system they use and adopt the Luna, right? And I think what we could have done better with what they, in hindsight, right, is to provide incentives for spending it, right? Spending your USD at, you know, just like at any banking institutions do when you go open up your banking app, depending on where you are, you receive certain offers like a 1% cash back or a 2% cash back. I think maybe in hindsight, maybe that could have worked better than Anchor, you know, like encourage actual use of the token that's been minted, right? What do you guys think about that idea?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I was getting at, was like with the kind of Cato or whatever and Alice Finance collab, they were trying to make actual merchants so you could spend it like real money. And then at that point, then it becomes in people's heads, I believe, like actual money, like, oh, it's redeemable, I can use this. But then if it throws way off peg, then our merchant's going to take it for 87 cents on the dollar, probably not. But yeah, I don't know. I think that's kind of where it needs to get to, though, is like a stable coin. If you can go use it and like use it on a debit card or something like that, or even if it's for online purchases or something like that, then I don't know. I guess people kind of think like, oh, this is currency now, as opposed to this is just an asset that's stabilized.
Yeah, I think we were really close. Like we were extremely close. And it's just like, you know, when something's rough around the edges, it's just prone to attacks. I think that's what just happened there. Managed to piss off the wrong people.
Well, I think being so close too, like I think all of us kind of saw it. Anybody that was in Luna was seeing this growth and these protocols and these connections being made to a point where it's like, this is almost unstoppable. And I think that's kind of when big money steps in and is like, wow, this is going to absolutely crush us and just like find a way to completely exploit the system and throw it way off. But that was one of the crushing things for me. I mean, I got into this ecosystem a little later than I think a lot of you guys did. And I was like, holy shit, like this is like a full on finance system. And like, this is going to make it. But I think this was kind of an open enough.
That's the reason they want to come back. Doesn't matter the name, doesn't matter what you believe, what we believe, you know, they just want to like, okay, let's develop this ecosystem again, because there is an interest, there is a competition, people believe in, what else you need? So you're not going to stick with the name. If it's the same name, people will still jump. Like Post-Attack, right? How many people bought Luna at that time just by her hearing the name? They are still buying. So I'm kind of a little bit positive here. Like the system will be back in place, but at least it will take 3 to 4 years just to get back on the feet where we are today.
I mean, we all signed up for a system that's built around an algorithm you back stablecoin, right? I don't really see the value of like Luna as much.
No, like USD is not a focus anymore. Yeah, stablecoin is not the focus anymore.
I know. I'm just putting a thought out there, right? But the whole idea of the system, right, was algorithms back stablecoin and protocols, things, and built around it, right? So we need to sort of like as a community, we need to go and look at this again. But after highlighting and actually thoroughly looking through what went wrong and how we can patch it, right? So
yeah, that will happen. That will happen, but without any noise. That will happen, but in the background, they will just implement it.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was saying.
Yeah, because otherwise, see, whenever they declare anything, everything started working against the same steps, whatever their plan was. They exactly did what they planned was to depeg or whatever. So they're not going to release any plan on how they're going to make it stablecoin completely decentralized or whatnot. They can put in stablecoin at any time against the Luna in circulation and then make it more deflationary at that time. But it's whenever they want to implement, it's their choice when they want to have, when it's going to happen, basically. So once everything works without stablecoin, if you know people just spending money and buy Luna and invest in different projects, they know, yeah, that is an interest. There is no need of stablecoin. But if the day comes and they say, yes, we need the stablecoin, it's going to happen.
Oh, yeah, go ahead, Josh.
Yeah, hey, so this may be a real stupid question, but you know, I lost a larger tranche of my personal investments when all this happened. So stupidity is kind of a feeling I'm getting used to at this point. So I'm going to go ahead and ask it. I mean, looking at the situation, what we know now, why is it not possible to include language in the smart contract to preclude a bad actor or somebody from doing this exactly, from withdrawing? This all came out of Anchor, right? The 200 million. Or however much it was pulled out of Anchor, right?
But that's a normal transaction. Whoever investing $500 million, they can withdraw $300 million. What's wrong with that? You know?
I'll give you a simple problem. So, Josh, who decides who's the bad actor?
No. Maybe I should even have included that in my question. I guess nobody. Where I was going with that was a different direction. So, I mean, personally, I think. It seems to me, looking at it now, it should have been required that you, and this might sound stupid, like I said, it seems like it should have been required that you have some skin in Anchor Borrow.
You can set the limit, but how are you going to set the limit up? For a wallet? Not possible. For amount? Not possible.
Yeah. Right. I think to kind of your question, I think, yeah, a system like that would be very hard to implement because it would be like, well, how much skin do you need in Anchor? And then it's like, oh, well, now I can't stake my UST because I'm not borrowing enough. And then is that an attractive thing? Like, I think there's a lot of friction that could go on with something like that, especially in like a decentralized finance system where really the goal is to get away from like obviously banks and regulations have those kind of stops to ensure you're safe.
It didn't seem that decentralized. I mean, the financial institutions like Alice and Cash and these people that are bringing people that aren't really involved in crypto or DeFi for that matter, and having them invest their money in Anchor Earn is not, that's not DeFi, that part of it, and that's directly attached. It's in the same lifeline.
Yeah, I more so mean like if you move like more than 10K around, at least in Canada, like it just gets held everywhere, right? Like every stop along the line in a centralized form, you're getting like a hold on your money. People are having to call you and check in, whatever. It's so DeFi to me doesn't necessarily mean like there isn't somebody with their hand on the wheel on some of these protocols and stuff like that. It's more so that you can just move your money freely around. Like I could move $100K or $1 million tomorrow in an instant. Like if it's Bitcoin, I could send that to somebody. I can move it wherever I want. Like, and that's kind of the trade-off you have going from something that's regulated to something that money can just move freely wherever. And
yeah, besides which, like some of those applications take, for example, an outlet or a, you know, what they did was they actually had a way for you to buy UST by connecting you through Prime Trust so that you can onboard your personal cash into it. But several of those projects actually had non-custodial wallets. That was your problem with the money. Whatever you did with it after the fact was your business. It'd be no different than you going to Coinbase and buying UST or going to any other exchange. All they did was really just connect your ability to basically buy the stuff on the platform. So where people got confused is this idea that somehow like it was a bank or it was insured, which they didn't actually make any claims to that effect necessarily, but people don't really do much due diligence in that respect. And so they put lots of money in, and if something bad happens, you know.
I haven't heard a single instance where somebody who put $1 million and he got insurance from, let's say, Orion or something, you know, there were a couple of them offering insurance on it. What happened to those people? Did they get the money
back?
The
people that had Risk Harbor insurance got paid out, yes.
Oh, yeah, nice. I didn't hear any single instance so far, so that's cool.
The one thing I think is kind of funny, I mean, funny in the sense that it's a little ironic, not necessarily funny in the sense of people losing money, but is that like with UST, like you said, like it's not a bank that you're putting into, it's not insured. Like at the end of the day, this is all new tech, Luna, the algorithmic stable coins, all of this stuff. So inherently, as soon as you come into this ecosystem, like you're taking on a massive risk in return for a 20% yield and this like hyperinflationary asset. So like for a lot of the people that are saying like, hey, I lost all my UST, this was supposed to be stable, I want like full payout of my stable coin back. I mean, to me is almost like investing in like a startup company and then losing your investment and then going back to the company and saying like, hey, can I get my investment back? Like I don't know. Like I do definitely feel for the people that lost, because like obviously you think it's a stable coin, it's supposed to stay on peg, and I think a lot of people were taking their money, taking their profits, and just dumping it into UST as a stable coin, and then all of this shitstorm hit. But I mean, at the same
time, it's a human nature, greed, right? Like when you want something more, you don't care about the. Right now, I mean, we wanted something. I know people who lost seven figures in US.
Oh, you're rugging back, buddy.
Yeah, you rugged a little bit there. Maybe just repeat that.
I was just saying, I know people who lost seven figures in USD because he wanted 20% interest and not like 5% or 2% of the banks. He converted everything USD to USD.
So I was looking on insurance.io. And I do check it every like frequently. There was the peg insurance when Anchor was released, right? And it was on there for some time. but I think they run out of cover claims. Up until recently, a few days ago, I was just looking at they've got a little claim part where, so basically they're like all the covers they've been paying out. I see quite a few big sums in there that people actually did take out insurance against the DPEG, and all the money that USD that they had in anchor was covered.
Also, I just want to interject a little bit off topic here, but I just want to kind of shout out Terra Spaces down there. I know they got hit pretty hard with everything and they're still grinding and recording all of these spaces and stuff like that. So I just wanted to make a note that they do have like a place where you can go donate to them too, even if it's a small amount. Like, this guy's taking all of the Luna spaces and Cosmos spaces and making them into podcasts and stuff like that, so that if you can't be here to hear some of these, that that they're ready and available for you to kind of listen to. So we can get back on topic. I just wanted to mention that.
Yeah, I even asked them not to change their name. I said, don't forget your roots, where you came from. Where you are right now is because of the origin, right? So don't forget the roots. Keep the name as it is. Don't change it to IBC or something. I don't know whether they decided or not.
Yeah. I think for the anchor thing, yeah, I think it'd be kind of tough to have, like, they had almost the whole network, almost all the UST locked up in anchor to, especially when the market cap just drops to almost nothing, to try and insure everybody, I think is a lot to ask. And I think, yeah, Josh, go ahead. No. Anyways, yeah. Oh, no worries. Yeah, I think the proposal to go with a new chain, I think, will probably, especially with an airdrop, probably make people more money than they'd be able to stretch out between every UST holder. Hopefully. I mean, I wouldn't put all your eggs in that basket, but I mean, you're essentially getting free free stocks or free tokens. Panatera, go ahead.
Hey, thanks for having me up here. Just wanted to comment on, like, some of the DPEG insurance. And again, this is not coming from a place of, like, you know, fuck you, you lost your money, it's your fault. Because, I mean, we all got wrecked, and I feel for everybody out there that's, you know, reeling from this. But at the same time, like, the fact that that DPEG insurance even exists is an attestment to the fact that there is risk involved. And, like, that whole model of having insurance on something wouldn't exist if there wasn't a risk, just like car insurance wouldn't exist if nobody ever wrecked their cars, or house insurance wouldn't exist if houses never burned down. So the fact that even exists and is a profitable or not profitable endeavor, and is something that's built on top of Anchor and UST specifically for the DPEG, should be an indicator for some people that, oh, wait a minute, there is risk here. And whenever Risk Harbor first came out, I forget what it, I think it was originally called Ozone. There were a lot of people when Anchor first came out that were hesitant to get into it at all, because mostly because of smart contract risk, but also because of DPEG risk. And people were very willing, at least, you know, vocally on Twitter or like in our community, people were very willing to forego the 20% to wait for insurance, and then maybe, you know, take 15% and let the insurance companies kind of take the spread on that. And so, you know, I think a lot of people right now that are like waiting for Luna V2 to come out, or Terra V2 or whatever, to come out and like make them whole. I don't know if that's like the best language to use, because, and it's actually causing like a lot of chaos and a lot of, in my opinion, like, we're just spinning our wheels, because people are acting like Terra V2 is literally an airplane dropping $100 bills USD out of the sky. I mean, this Terra V2 might not even work. This might not even be a viable solution that makes anybody any money. And yet we're sitting here like arguing about which way to split the pie. And the pie dish is basically crumbs at this point. So,
I would 100% agree with you there. I think, I think Seffy said in another space about the token distribution, I think a lot of it was originally like
almost distributed to try and make people whole, when really, like, this is essentially a new chain with a brand new, like, ICO, and we should almost be like trying to do this token distribution to get more people on board. I mean, obviously, like, a good weight to people who lost, but maybe spreading it out even to like Atom stakers or something like that to get more interest. Because yeah, essentially this is just a brand new chain, and whether it is successful or not, I don't think people should be basing their finances off of it. I mean, I have high hopes for it, and I'm happy to get free tokens, and but I don't know if I'll be deploying fresh capital until we kind of see some stuff building.
Yeah, I just don't want to see, you know, with whatever ends up happening here, I don't want people being made whole to take precedence over like an actually good tokenomic model. And I think we saw some of that with like the recent amendment to get rid of some of the overhang and
did
some of the inflation.
Fuck us or what?
Who?
DeGen, yeah, toss some people off.
Jaquan?
who's Jaquan? The rapper?
It's just people trolling and shit. Pantera, like what we're saying is that basically the you really have to think of this as a new project, right? Like, imagine just the coins are worth zero, number one, because that's what they're worth. And then, you know, whatever gets built, sort of value accrual gets built into the coin, whatever network effect the coin has, that's all just down in the, you know, some point down in the future. I think a credible L1 with good builders and even a bear market scenario can, you know, readily get to like the $500 million to $1 billion market cap sort of level. Beyond that, you're going to have pumps and things. And what you don't want to do is like, you know, people going and buying those pumps, having it dump again, and then you get wrecked a second time, which, you know, is a definite concern.
That's so going to happen at the 30% Genesis block.
Yeah, I'm sure. So going forward, like, people should still be fairly careful.
Yeah, and like, I would almost them, whatever model they come up with, I would almost them just like rip the Band-Aid off from the jump and just get rid of like all these people that are just waiting to exit anyway. I mean, in a way, I kind of can see if you do vesting over 2 years and you do a 6 month cliff, there is a high probability that people will literally just forget about that, and that'll just be locked funds that never move. And I understand that, but at the same time, you're still going to have a ton of selling pressure, and with all that overhang, you know, it's going to be really tough for people that are building and like are really just trying to help launch a new L1 that doesn't have the, you know, the UST edge that Luna Classic that we're calling it now had. It can be disheartening to you know, trudge along for a couple years and keep getting dumped on. So
I think they are taking care of the VCs rather than the retail, because they have the commitment of 4 years earlier, which they still have to do it somehow. So keeping in target 4 years, they're probably thinking.
I think you might have got rugged.
Yeah, I can't hear him either.
Yeah, I mean, I think to me, it's kind of like, you might have like these prolonged periods of people that want to get out and then big dumps, or that might give them enough time to start actually building the chain and have some cool stuff come out, and it changes people's minds that have kind of bad blood or are upset with Luna right now. I don't know, it's hard to say, but I like, for me, essentially, this is just an ICO airdrop of a new chain, but we've already seen builders and protocols on it, and a good amount of them are getting just brought over to the new chain. So like, to me, it's like I'm essentially getting an airdrop for a brand new chain that has already proven and already has infrastructure built on it. So I mean, I might have higher expectations than just throwing a dart at a board and investing and getting an airdrop from a new chain, as opposed to one that's already kind of gone through the ropes. But yeah, I think, like Seffy has said, and like a couple other people have said, at this point, it's just really like, get your tokens and we'll see where it goes from here. Don't have any expectations, and hopefully it'll do well. And I think a lot of people that enjoyed playing around on Luna will have a fun time playing on V2. But it's really just, we're going to have to just wait and see and wait till it's launched and see what the new protocols have to offer and see what old ones are sticking around.
Yeah, and just one more thing quickly, and then I'll jump down. I appreciate you guys letting me talk. I do think, like, and I said this, you know, like very, very soon after sort of the Armageddon took place last week, the UX in Terra is, in my opinion, and like, you know, I'm not gonna like say I have like gray hair of the group as far as like crypto and Web3 goes, but I have been around at least for a couple cycles now, and the UX on Terra, I think. I got so used to how convenient it was that when I go back and even if I use like a ZK rollup or something on ETH, it's such a pain in the ass. And so I don't want to go back to that as a user. And I think there's a lot of value there that can be salvaged. So I'm not trying to be like super negative here. I just think I wish there was more focus on healthy tokenomics for the layer one itself instead of focusing on trying to make people whole with tokens that I don't think are even going to come close to, you know, healing the wounds that were inflicted. So, but yeah, that's it for me. I appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
Yeah. I don't know if you were there, a little while ago and I was sort of mentioning, I think we need to have like a list of 10 to 12, reasons to hold Luna. So similar to how we held it because we felt like the UST mechanism would drive up its value. There needs to be like good reasons to hold it, besides just the usual like staking yield. And I think the answer is, similarly to how you would stake on a validator to get yield, you would stake your Luna with dApps for privileges on those dApps. So the dApps would basically collect the yield, and you would be able to access the tokens on that platform. So it's sort of like a staking mechanism. The other thing I thought would be really cool would be is if you had a liquid staked version built into the protocol. So like similar to how Stater had Luna X, you would make the liquid staked derivative a standard of the protocol. And the DEXs would all have the liquid staked version so that like you would incentivize people providing liquidity. So like say, for example, like an Astroport style DEX. Or maybe a better example would be like Thorchain, where Rune is the primary token of the DEXs. If all of the DEXs would commit to the primary coin of the DEX being, you know, liquid staked Luna 2, then you are benefiting from the staking benefit while being a liquid, while being a liquidity provider. Some of those kinds of things, I think, will tend to be popular and bring in capital that's likely to stay versus having to make all of these like judgment calls like, hey, am I going to stake this? Am I going to have the liquid stake version? Am I going to, you know, be an LP provider? And if so, like, what is my benefit? But hey, I'm losing my staking benefit. All these kinds of like mathematical games need to end. And the deployment of capital should be essentially frictionless and sort of like doesn't require any brain to do. That simplicity, I think, is what like that was still lacking. And you had to have literal Twitter spaces like discussing what the best financial strategy would be. It should be more obvious than that, I think, a lot more simpler. And I think all the protocols in the ecosystem, I think, should commit to some like Luna staking type of systems to bring like value to the coin very, very quickly in terms of like holding pressure. So collateral is obviously one of those. So if you have a lending borrowing platform that, you know, relies on Luna, that was always one of them. And every DeFi platform has that, obviously. But we need to have like a pretty extensive list. My thought is like if your financial instruments are good, like the Nebula protocols and all those kinds of things, you still have like a lot of good scope to create some great shit. But the token value accrual mechanisms cannot be the standard L1 like stuff. We have to like think a little bit deeper. You know, my thought earlier was like, what if
Terra V2 is more of like you have financial primitives that are that benefit, like, say, gaming platforms. So let's say a new platform emerged on Cosmos and it needed some like financial primitives as part of its metaverse layer, then, you know, you would want to have like products built out that come from Terra that are used on those other Cosmos chains, for example. So I don't know, we seem to be like, we have a community, but now we don't have a white paper. It's like the opposite of what normally happens. Normally you have like this manifesto, and then you have a community built around it who believe in the values of that white paper, and you show up and you build it, right? Or you're like, hey, this speaks to my, you know, what I think DeFi should be. And you show up and you participate. We're going kind of backwards in that, like, now we have like a community, a UI, a UX, we have like some dApps, we have Terra Station and the, you know, the interface and ways to onboard, but now we don't really have the vision. And maybe the vision is the harder thing to create, and it's hard to find consensus on vision too, right? Like what do? You take a big vote, you have like Doe decide what the vision is. Do you, you know, put a bunch of ideas together on a whiteboard and say, hey, how many of these can we implement? I'm thinking that's the only way to go, personally. Like, if you think about it, DeFi is not like, you don't need to reinvent the whole thing. At this point, substantial portions of the things that make money in DeFi, the things that are popular in DeFi, the value accrual mechanisms and tokenomics have been worked out pretty well. So, hey, listen, guys at Delphi, like, how many different things on your list of value accrual mechanisms can you give us? Okay, we're going to just implement as many of these as possible and get as many commitment from the dApp producers that are on Terra or the NFT projects on Terra to implement as many of those as possible. And you make the core vision to bring back value to the primary coin, such that, like, you may argue that maybe the ideal scenario is as many projects don't even try to have their own coin. Like, the way that you spend money on those protocols is by staking your new Luna there, and that's how they make their income, but they don't necessarily have to have their own coin automatically. So that, like, somehow you create a system where the core coin of the ecosystem like is the primary reason for the chain's existence. And maybe I'm just like thinking fantasy here. Maybe that's not even possible, but that's kind of my thinking. Like, the value accrual mechanisms need to be really well thought out.
More like a,
are you thinking more of like a chain link?
I'm doing a vote. I'm doing my vote right now for the new Terra or the new, the vote. I'm not going to say exactly what I'm going to do or what I'm going to vote, but do you guys think the new Terra token that's going to be, that will maybe implemented after this vote on the 25th, do you think this new Terra token can go to a dollar and pass even and regain its former glory?
Okay, so Moonrise, it's going to have completely different tokenomics than the Luna right now. So it's like, it only has like $1 billion. I think it has a billion tokens being released. So let's say all of them were in circulating supply. If the market cap reached $1 billion, it would be $1. So the new, like, I don't know if I would necessarily base the value of the token off of what the actual dollar price of the token is. Because if you kind of understand tokenomics to some degree, you would know that there's some tokens that will never reach a dollar. Regardless of, like, their market cap would just have to be ferociously huge. Whereas, like, you know, like, it also has to do with supply and market cap and how those two correlate, is where the price of the token comes from. So
yes, do you think it can come back to its former glory, like back to what, $100, $80?
So
can it go back to where it was?
So I guess two things. So one, the Luna that it is now, that's at like sub, like at 0.0.
Not the Tuna Classic, the Luna Classic. I'm talking about the new token.
So the new token, I wouldn't put my money on the fact that it's going to be, I think Luna reached like $40 billion market cap or something, or $35 billion, something like that. I wouldn't put my money on the fact that it's going to have a $40 billion market cap anytime soon. The other thing you have to think is it now is no longer hyper deflationary, the supply.
Do you think it can go to a dollar at least, or even $10?
I think you have to think about it more in the fact of how many times is it going to multiply your money? Like is it going to 2x, 3x, like more so than what the dollar price is? Because I don't even think we really know what the price of it. It could launch at over a dollar. I don't know if it will, but like you have to think about.
Wow. So if it launches over a dollar, do you know what the allocation for those that hold to Luna Classic right now is? And so, 80% of that would be locked at Genesis.
So just to, I have like 2 seconds here. So current price of Luna, the cheapest way, the new Luna 2.0, it's currently at roughly around $3.5 per token. And the ratio of Luna to new Luna.
Is it live right now?
No, just the valuation if you buy the tokens, the cheapest way to get it is currently, it's like 55 UST to each new Luna. And it's like something crazy. It's like, I think it's like 1700 old Luna to new Luna to one new Luna, something like that. I'm not sure about the Luna math, but I know about the UST math. It's 55 to 1.
Wait, can you repeat that again?
So 55 UST on the current chain is equal to one new Luna. If you want to get the math for Luna, it'll be 100 million divided by the market cap, sorry, the total supply of Luna right now on the old chain. So it'll be something like, I think it's like 1700 Luna.
I know that Du Quan just did a tweet saying that something about the vote and saying that the new Terra token is live. Do you guys know anything about that?
So that's probably a scam. I would almost 100% say scam.
No, this is from the actual Twitter
of Du Quan.
Du Quan Twitter, yep.
Well, the new tokens.
He hasn't tweeted out in 2 days. It's not the same guy.
Yeah, I would check the follower account and everything on that, and double check the name on it, because yeah, I don't even think the proposal's gone all the way through, or maybe it has, but I like launch isn't even till like the 27th or something like that. It's like pretty much end of the month, and the other thing I would say too, kind of on your question is. I think we can all speculate on price, but at the end of the day, I don't think anybody really has any idea. I mean, we're going to have to wait and see kind of what happens with the chain, what happens with the tokenomics, like what projects stay and stuff like that. Like to try and speculate on price right now is, I think, really hard, especially with the community is a little bit divided between dumping tokens because they were crushed and they're just moving on, and people that want to build. I think to try and speculate on price, especially the price of the token, not just the return on investment, I think is going to be really hard at this point. And you probably just want to wait it out and, I don't know, decide what you think. I know a lot of lunatics are like, this is going to make me a lot of money, and there's a lot of people that are like, I want to dump this and I don't want anything to do with it. So yeah, I think speculating on price right now is very early, hard to do.
Well, if we do move to a new token, granted, 90% want the burn and not a new token, and it's looking like some people want the new token. But I believe the new token will be more successful because
I guess two things. So one, I don't think 90% of people want the burn. I mean, you can go on Terra Station and go look at the voting and stuff like that. And I think a lot of people are in favor for the new chain. And second of all, I kind of made a quick video on what a buyback and burn would actually look like. And it's essentially just Terraform Labs like spending billions of dollars to try and buy back all of these tokens just to burn them for like retail investors to make a couple X, like a 2, 4, 5, 6X on their money. And so it's just not even realistic at all, especially because like the people that were actually burned by this crash would really get nothing from it because their tokens are already down like 99%. And it would just be kind of new people buying the tokens that would even see that return.
Well, that's the thing. Luna has gotten a lot of press lately. So even if they lose a significant amount of people are going to come in and buy this token.
Yeah. I wouldn't like dump my whole life savings into it this time. I mean, I did before, but I think you're right. You may be right. But I think we have to see what kind of market cap we're starting out with and then who's going to dump it to just kind of like make some quick cash and where it's going to go. I mean,
DJ, what I would do is like skip the price talk and kick anyone off who's just fucking around. and just go back to actual serious discussion.
Yeah, that's my bad. I probably let that one run.
Just kick anyone off who's just being irritating. That's like the first step, I think. Like, just don't tolerate it. It's just a waste of time. No, I was going to say, like, I think as long as there's people that have ideas that believe can go somewhere, you know, I think it's a matter of just like posting them, DMing us or whatever, and like getting those into a space where they can be considered. And I think Simo Muhammad was trying to speak for a second. Let's get him on.
Yes. Hello, everybody. I just want to have my 5 cents on the postmortem thing about Luna and UST. So some people were saying that we were so close. I don't think that was the case in any word where I think more than 80% of EST was just in Anchor, deposit in Anchor. So UST weren't taking any market cap from USDT or other stable coins. So that was supposed to be the goal. My second question is about that business that we talked about like 1 year and a half ago that was using Luna to the e-commerce business in Korea that was using Luna for payment. So what happened to that? So for me, that was the link of between Luna and real economy and where people use Luna for something. But after that, we didn't talk much about it. So I have a question about that. Also, I am raising some concerns about the decentralization thing. It is at this point or 1 year and a half ago, it was always centralized around TFL and what TFL wants and what DU wanted to do. And there wasn't much of decentralization, much about Luna. So this is my question and my concerns for the next things.
Valid points for sure. I think the biggest issue has always been the centralization aspect is definitely a factor, and the TFL wallet of Luna was always a risk factor. If the use of that Luna was used in a way that wrecked the system, which in this case it sort of did, then that was always kind of a possible vector. But I would agree with you. Most layer ones are not, they have elements of centralization in various aspects of their systems, whether it's the people that build them, the people that maintain them, the people that validate them, or, you know, or whatever, right? Like there's, or certain dApps on certain layer ones that are way too powerful. And lock up too much of the TVL and put the system at risk, right? So yeah, you're right. Like, there's plenty of reasons to agree that we were not that close. I would have to agree with that point.
I mean, like my thoughts on that while we were close was, I mean, the main thing about algorithms, and it's all about adoption, right? You had Luna on the news, on TV, and you were just about to roll out Alice, which opened up basically banking the unbanked. Anybody could have a USD card, and then you could use that anywhere. And you know, the part of Terra's main key concepts, like why I invested in it, was for them to be a payments gateway. Like the gentleman said, they started off really good with KRT. I think the Mongolian one as well, right? Before moving on to UST. It's just, we just went a little bit too quickly. And I've never seen the most insane, ridiculous amount of gains I've seen in Luna on my portfolio over the last year. So
I think we're mistaking the size of our portfolio with the actual like success of payment gateways and stuff like you mentioned, and like Muhammad mentioned, basically you're dealing with, you know, like Lucky and I talked about this a lot because we both deal with different e-commerce platforms and whatnot. The reality was is that, you know, UST, even if it was like in a debit card form with Alice, that was basically just being paid out as USD to the various companies that you would basically spend your Visa or MasterCard at. But it wasn't really using your UST in the classic sense. That was just Prime Trust, which was sort of the intermediary. But that's pretty centralized as well. There weren't a wide range of places where you could remit UST, unfortunately. And that's still the case today in crypto. There aren't that many banks and such that are willing to like allow you to spend your crypto. And most banks and the most businesses do not accept it at all, not even Bitcoin. So in that respect, like, you know, this is all pretty, pretty early in that sense. And like it took Visa and MasterCard like decades to build out the networks that they have now to get like you to be able to go to some village in some small country and go swipe your credit card. Right. This is like a 40-year process, something like that. So from the beginning of computers and networks to, you know, eventually having those cards. And remember, I don't know if you guys remember, but like credit cards were available even before computers were in significant play. You know, you'd like take those carbon copies of your credit cards and they would like transact in the background. So it took them a long time. Like, so to say that in a year or two that we accomplished very much, we did some, but it wasn't like, we didn't have any kind of global payment network type of thing anytime soon, right?
And I think like when crypto gets in integrated into like a payment system to be able to pay at merchants. And I mean, kind of like what VGX is doing, where, like you said, there's some entity in the background that's basically swapping your crypto to USD and then it goes to pay whatever it's paying, I think is kind of the first step, obviously. And I mean, even with that, if there was some sort of, even if it was like half collateralized or something like that, or semi-collateralized with UST, to the fact that if you had it on a debit card, you could spend it one-to-one with a dollar. Like maybe that would have relieved some of the panic, knowing that even if it's depegged, you could still use it one-to-one to like buy at a retail store, even if there was a centralized entity just swapping it to USD in the back. I don't know. I think he kind of more so meant that even if there is like full decentralization where you can just go and spend Bitcoin and stuff like that is a long way out. But something where you can use, like, I want to use my Terra and my UST and I can make 20% an Anchor and take out $50 to go buy something at the store, even if it's converted in the background, I think would have been quite a long way to come. I don't think there's many cryptos that you can just go out and readily use for payment.
I have another question. Do you think that if UST wasn't introduced in Binance or big central exchanges, do you think things like this would have happened this fast? And in 3 days, we almost lost every dime we had, actually. So that's another question for you. Do you think that introducing UST in exchanges did have part of it, some of
yes. Yes, it did. It was a problem. And the reason is because exchanges and their market makers tend to go based on Oracle prices, which would be like a Chainlink Oracle.
So if you watched what happened to prices over the period of like when the DPEG was happening, and you pulled up like, you know, CoinMarketCap or something like that, or CoinGecko, you would notice that like almost every exchange had the same price for UST. There wasn't that much discrepancy. So there's like market arbitrage that was happening, but it was basically just arbitraging the differences between the price of the coin between the different exchanges and neutralizing it. What there was not sufficient evidence of was like sufficient arbitrage of like external capital who was basically buying up the UST while it was cheaper on lots and lots of exchanges. And clearly there was no commitment by like Coinbase, Binance, et cetera, to be the backstop for the system, right? It's like if the system didn't work, it just didn't work. If external arbs with billions of dollars were not willing to buy up that UST, then, and the Luna mechanism was not able to keep up, there was just no way to sort of solve that problem. So you would have had to have had a buyer of last resort to scoop all that UST up on the exchanges. So like, if anything, a mistake here would be the largest liquidity destinations like Binance, like Coinbase, et cetera, in the different markets would have had to have committed to pegging one-to-one and providing that backstop. And like either that or they didn't list UST at all. Right. Like that would have been the solution. Exchanges in this case are not liable for anything. They just sort of just list the coin and see what happens. So if people dump whatever liquidity is there and buy Tether with it or whatever, there's nothing really they can do about it. Whereas like a traditional bank would have like capital controls, they would have like collateral requirements, and they'd have other elements, right? Or at least the federal government would backstop, bank. Whereas in this case, there's no backstop. So the exchanges really, in my view, are sort of culpables for stablecoins in the sense that like the public expects when they have a stablecoin that it's worth a dollar, but they may not understand that it's not going to stay worth a dollar. And that's true for any of the even Tether or whatever. And the exchanges have not committed to like pegging one-to-one any stablecoin, except I think like Circle with Coinbase, like when you go to Coinbase and you go and like take $1 million and you convert it to USDC, they give you exactly $1 million of USDC, regardless of its price. So they guarantee it's pegged locally, right? But when you go to say a Binance and you do the same thing, sometimes USDC might be $1.01 or it might be 99 cents. They don't guarantee the peg locally. They expect outsiders to go and remit that with Tether Corporation or Circle Corporation and go and like, you know, swap, the, you know, and play the arbitrage and get the remittance at the at those destinations. So that's kind of the problem there. So anyway, the long story short, like you're not going to make a stablecoin work at scale without widespread commitment among most of the companies that play in crypto. That's another one of the attack vector problems that I said is not solvable in this case. Like you could like, you know, hold UST hostage, have no external, don't do any external bridges, allow UST to leave the chain. Although it's not really possible to do that because once you have UST available on our chain, there's nothing preventing a wallet address from, you know, like an exchange from listing UST somewhere else, right? So you don't really, like you can't really have your cake and eat it too by like making sure that it only stays on chain because that's just not how blockchain works. So like there's no way to have like done this a different way. And basically all of all in my view of the stable coins are basically at risk of this problem.
And I think also what was an issue as well on top of that is once they cut off the trading back to Terra, like essentially all the liquidity could pour out onto the centralized exchanges, but there was no way to get liquidity back into the ecosystem because everybody just halted coins going out, going back to Terra. So I know a lot of people, they were trying to get like money back on to pay off loans and stuff like that. And as soon as it closed up, the only way was out. And yeah, go ahead, Josh.
Yeah, I appreciate you letting me have the floor again real quick. I just wanted to try to rephrase my question because I think maybe I wasn't asking it right earlier. So the question I was trying to ask is not really towards identifying a bad actor as much as identifying a bad transaction or a threatening transaction. If your bank has the ability to identify when you're going to overdraw your account or when there's potential fraud on your account, is it possible to have language in the smart contract to prevent a transaction that would threaten the peg? That's really what I was trying to get at there.
The short answer is yes, it is possible.
So if this was always a possibility, how did we go as long as we did without seeing it happen?
It just happens when it does, right? Like the difference is like, so the last year, the last May crash, what happened was UST wasn't as widely distributed. It wasn't as widely available on external exchanges. And there wasn't as much liquidity on, say, Ethereum, et cetera. So what happened was, is as this whole thing scaled, the risk escalated. And over that time, over the period last 1 year, like we went from like literally like $2 billion UST to like, what was it, like $18 billion or something like that. So you had a massive increase in the actual amount of UST out there. So it wasn't really battle tested at that level to see huge amounts of money moves at one time, right? So anyway, the point is like, yeah, the risk was there, and probably Anchor needed to have like capital controls as far as like withdrawal velocity. But the problem is like in DeFi, that's not very composable. Like let's say, for example, you know, there's too much leaving the system at one time. I guess they could slow the speed with which you could withdraw, but then that confuses all of the protocols and all the applications that are built on top of Anchor, and it confuses retail investors who are like, wait, why can't I remove my money right now, right? And then you would just wind up having more panic and fear anyway, and then it would just bank run slower, but it would probably happen anyway. So it's technically possible, but very difficult to implement it in a way that's like going to be consistently effective.
Okay. It seems like with as much comprehensive insight as everybody's had through this whole thing, as many people as, you know, as I hear from and see in all the, you know, social media outlets, everywhere you look, somebody, it seems like that might have been a forethought, you know, maybe something in the middle of the game you implement it, you know, or what you see that you're coming to that level where you said, you know, we weren't there before. Maybe that's why it didn't happen. We didn't have the liquidity or whatever. But, you know, once you're reaching that level, then other things need to be considered at that point.
Yeah. And the community could have like made proposals, by the way, Josh, like, for example, if you didn't like what you saw, you could actually post a proposal on the forum at Anchor Protocol, and then people could vote on it, et cetera. But the thing about DeFi is you can't actually just say, well, someone didn't do something. That community is literally you in DeFi. That's the whole point of Web3. So that's where the problem comes in, is the assumption that people know what they're doing. And the reality is that most people don't know what they're doing to make the proposals needed, or maybe don't have the technical expertise, et cetera, right? So that's where a lot of the risk in DeFi also comes from. With decentralized finance comes decentralized culpability, where no one really is responsible at the end of the day. That's just how it works. Like, so that's the problem.
And that's fair enough. And I don't want to sound like, you know, I'm pointing the finger at anybody, or I'm saying that somebody is to blame or somebody was short-sighted. I'm just asking the question because I follow most of you guys that I'm looking at here on my phone, and I try to pick up as much as I can when I have the opportunity to. And this seemed like a good question to ask. I don't, you know, there are a lot of smart people that have been working on this, and that's why it got as big as it did. It seems almost like it was allowed to happen, I guess, is kind of.
Well, and I think the other thing you got to think too is like, we can look at what happened and say, oh, well, why wasn't this just implemented? But then even just like Sethi having a couple reasons why maybe that wouldn't be feasible means that like these developers that have to look at every single metric of every single decision they make, like would that one change in Anchor inherently change a bunch of other in it that maybe don't make it work as smooth or like was said, like create more panic or some sort of halts or something like that, that like has other negative effects that like we as non-developers can't really take into account.
It's sort of like, Josh, imagine you're on the space shuttle and you discover a problem and you're like, oh shit, the stuff to the, like the theoretical things to build it aren't here, right? Then the thing blows up. That's pretty much the situation you're in this, in those kind of cases.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like it's hard to fix after the fact. In other words, is my point. And I'm not even a builder. I'm just like looking at it from a programming angle and just like a sequence of events. It's almost like unless it's wrecked, you don't really realize what you did wrong in order to prevent it from getting wrecked the next time. You know, unless you like model this somehow, and there's no way to model it in real time, right? Like it's not like you could try to do some math models and shit, but like. And you know, you still have a hard time like building a system robust enough to prevent all failures.
So you don't think if you were able to rewind the clock back to day one, knowing what you know now, that you'd be able to implement something that would prevent it from happening, is what you're saying?
Yeah, like looking at it from day one, I would say right now that like there is no evidence in the known universe that this can be done in a like cohesive way. Like by anybody. I'm not talking about Terra. I'm just talking about anybody. That's kind of like my, just looking at the analysis of what happened here, it basically just shows that it's not feasible to me. Like, I just don't see it. Like,
and the other thing you got to think too is like, we can look at what went wrong and like possible fixes for it, but there's probably other people on the other side of things of how did this attack happen and it needs to happen again. What could we do better to make it work? You know, kind of thing. Like, I think it's, people are on both sides looking at this attack from that's why it's a little scary. For
the question we have to ask ourselves is basically, is DeFi useful without stablecoins? That's the question that has to be answered.
Well, of course it is, right? I mean, as an investment platform or as a functional payment system, what do you mean?
No, as anything. Is decentralized finance useful without the ability to have some functioning stablecoin as a savings vehicle, right? Like as a trading instrument or otherwise, is it actually feasible? If the answer is no, then the only thing that survives is Bitcoin.
Yeah, I agree. I've actually been thinking about that a lot in the last couple of like days to weeks because, yeah, it's really like, first, how do you on-ramp and like, And in these cycles, you see like all of the, every coin right now, aside from Bitcoin, and I mean, even Bitcoin's at like a 60% pullback, but like Solana and everything are all like 80s, 90% pullbacks. Like how intriguing is that to investors knowing that they have no stabilized assets? They either have to be completely in or completely out fiat or the altcoin. So yeah, I mean, that is something I feel like nobody really talks about. And it is a little bit scary to think of because what multi-million or billion-dollar investor is just going to let their money take a ride to wherever. But anyways, it is starting to get a little late, so I'm going to wrap things up here. I think it's time to be a dad. So yeah, thanks for coming by, everybody. I'm going to hold these every Friday. And once again, big shout out to Terra Space. Terra Space is there in the audience here. So go check them out. And if you want to be kind, go leave them a small donation. They're pretty much running on fumes after the Luna crash. So yeah, huge, huge shout out to them. And thanks for listening.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was Luna, Governance, Stablecoins, and Decentralization, hosted by The Degenerate, recorded on Friday, May 20th, 2022. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. And if you want to keep listening, go to TerraSpaces.org/donate and help us out.
Put your hands up like you got a couple questions. Ain't no misdirection, just a bunch of flexing. All aggressive, insane from all directions. Smoke rolls in when I start a session. Plink canvas, blaze up the handlers. Rocking back and forth like I got the van stuck. Don't grind the clutch, mind you hush. Put your mask on and don't touch the antlers. Feeling untouchable when I'm on the verse. But in the universe, I'm just writing some words. Enticing these nerds while I'm laying out my memoirs. Like, remember when I had to fight the centaur? I'm a book nerd, let me take you on the journey. Lost in the labyrinth, searching out the lost fern. For certain, got the taxes included. Acting like a writer, never felt secluded. the shit and line them up. Just another fixed game of try my luck. Go lighten up, dog. It could always be worse. Unless you're in the back of a hearse, then you're dead, or put it in new speakers. It's a toss-up, driver or just tweakers. Don't stress, yo, I've done the research. Living life like a bunch of fucking lemurs. It's a remake off the cutting floor. We take a little bit of poison and put it in the cheesecake. Tastes great, less filling, less stress, more killing. As he blew the cornerstone out the building and the blocks came tumbling down, all humble. Feels like we're drowning in a little puddle. Rebuttal, I should be taking off in the shuttle, getting high in space with the Hubble.
Terra Spaces.